This is the Ripple Effect with your girl K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.
Hey, what's going on? It's your girl K-Dot back in the Ripple Effect. You already know what it is and you already know the vibes. So, you know, NBA draft. I kind of hate the NBA draft, I ain't gonna lie. I watch it. You see me posting, just keeping you informed on, you know, who your team is getting to try to get you better. The reason why I say I don't like it, it's not because I don't actually not like it. It's because everybody's just so wrong. It's so crazy how wrong everybody is. I'm not even talking about the projections, so we don't even need to get into that about who was supposed to go number one versus who went number three. Like, I told you, like, when it comes to the players, I mean, when it comes to that competitive edge, they care where they go because it's a big deal money-wise, obviously. Not to mention, it's the prestige, it's the bragging rights. I went number one, you know, and everything that comes along with being the number one or the top three, top 10, you get where I'm going. But for a team, especially when you don't have that generational player, think about it. Does it really matter? No. The problem, like, you have to nail the pick according to the culture and the guys that you already have on the squad. That's the only thing that matters. How are they going to fit? What are you missing that you need at that position? That's it. Now, on paper, right, a lot of things you have to take into consideration, but who knows what we did. As Knicks fans, I know everybody was going crazy and saying the Knicks are crazy and they didn't do anything. You know what? They played it safe. They did. They racked up. Are they going to overpay Jalen Brunson? Yes. They even had to hire his father on the staff to make sure he goes there. Yes, that's what we have to do in the Knicks organization. Why? Because our owner refuses to sell the team. Free agents don't want to go play there. This is not a narrative. This is just how it is. Players have their own podcast, and they'll tell you themselves how they feel about it, about the organization. And if you're a Knicks fan, you already know how the top-level free agents feel about playing in New York. It just is what it is at this point. And you can't blame them. Look how they treated Spike Lee, right? Because he couldn't go through a certain entrance. Are you kidding me? Charles Oakley getting arrested. Are you bleeping kidding me? Like, it just goes on and on and on. First of all, the Knicks traded, what, Patrick Ewing back in the day to Seattle. What was that about? Blood, sweat, and tears, right? Knicks just have a terrible history in doing Knicks great, right? Terrible, whether it's Knicks fans, you know. I guess Clyde's next, right? You know, not wishing nothing. Hopefully that's not the case. But you can't blame people when they say, Nick's gonna Nick, you know? Or when you just hear all the comments and why we didn't go crazy on the Australian dude, you know? I mean, who knows? I'm starting to think, I started watching film on him and I'm like, he played in the Australian Pro League. I'm like, he looked pretty damn good. I was like, I think we might have missed out on something special there. Wouldn't be the first time. Donovan Mitchell. And now we're doing all this craziness, you know, all these acrobatics to clean up the mess. Now, I'm not going to say I hated what the Knicks did so far, but I'm not going to say I like it either. Because when you make a mess, it's only right that you clean it up. Stop looking for credit for cleaning up your own mess. It's ridiculous. When adults do that, it's ridiculous. Nobody likes it when kids do it, but when adults do it, it's like, really? Okay, you cleaned it up. Good job. Anyway, it's just a bunch of guesses, you know? I mean, I even like that kid Chet, you know? I thought Oklahoma City did a pretty decent job. They're definitely swinging for the fences there. You don't really know how these guys are going to pan out. I know Chet doesn't seem to care too much about the weight issue, but when he gets a couple of elbows to that ribs, you know, maybe he'll feel a little bit differently. Excuse me. Or maybe they'll play him more outside. I don't really see him mixing it up too much in the paint, but his handles is crazy. So if you're Oklahoma City, I'd be pretty excited. You know, when you think about who you have pairing him up, they look decent. I'll give him that. It's all gonna be about development. And I think that's also why the Knicks know what they're not good at. They're terrible at developing players. We know this. Terrible. We're terrible at drafting and developing. players usually get better when they leave. It just is what it is. Like, we couldn't find anything to do with Neal Akina, even though we drafted him so high. And it's like, why? Even if you wanted him, I don't see anybody else drafting him as high as you did. You know what I mean? And, like, when you think about the needs of your team, it just didn't make sense. And then we ended up trading him away anyway. And then he actually played valuable minutes with Dallas in meaningful playoff basketball. And this is a guy who we just gave away. And we're supposed to be defense first. And this is a defensive-minded... don't even get me started. You know what? You already got me started. So it is what it is. Right now, we're looking at a situation as Knicks fans. If you're of my generation, just don't expect a ring anytime soon. There's a lot of speculation out there with the whole Kyrie situation. And I don't know why you guys like getting me started with all this. You know, it's just... What do they say? The chickens always come home to roost. Well, I'll say this. The Kyrie situation will play out however it plays out. I think Brooklyn is screwed regardless. You're screwed. I heard this earlier. Once you make a mistake, right, it doesn't mean that you have to keep on making it, right? You have a choice to right your wrongs and correct it. And I believe that's what Sean Marks and them are trying to do. I honestly believe it. But here's the thing when it comes to this. See, that's the thing. When you have like those little catchy blanket statements that sound really cool and you think that it's an analogy for everything and you can just equate it to anything. See, this is one of these situations where I feel it does not work. The Nets... they definitely got in bed with Kyrie. So at the end of the day, you're either going to have to deal with it or deal with the fact that you're going to lose Kyrie. You're not going to get full value back for him. You're more than likely going to lose Kevin Durant, even though he did not confirm that. He has his own podcast. He went into detail about how he was staying out of it because it's Kai's livelihood. That's his words, not mine. But the reality is, you think he's going to stay over there with Ben Simmons, and that's it. No. So you're running the risk of giving up your stars, them eventually playing on another team, winning meaningful basketball games, and you're stuck in a rebuild. And yay, you have all these picks, and yeah, you'll probably get some return back for KD, sure, but it's not going to be comparable. Like, it's not going to be comparable. At the end of the day, like I said, they're screwed. You already did it. You just have to hope that you put in that contract that you're, you know, it's going to be a pay-for-play situation. I know for a fact that Kyrie's not going to be okay with that, which is why he already put together a list of teams of where he would like to go if they can't get this long-term max deal done. And when you're just speaking of his talent, and this is why everybody talks about it, even though everybody's so annoyed about it, but when you have a talent of Kyrie's caliber, you don't want to lose that, but at the same time, you're more aggravated about everything that seems to come up with him, because all you want to do is see him play. Like, that's literally it. Like, we don't really care about, you know what I mean, like, all the outside nonsense. I think the outside stuff, like his personal decisions, get in the way because it ends up in him not playing. And that's what annoys everybody, because it's like, you're a great player. We're not trying to say that basketball is the end all be all, but this is something that you signed up for. You know, this is something that we thought we were going to see. I'm sure when you signed that contract, it wasn't to be part-time. But, you know, circumstances happen, and I get it. But and some of the rules were not fair, and I understand all of that completely. But when you look at his track record, even prior to last year, it doesn't speak to or of someone who puts basketball first. That's just a given. And he even told you he's not putting basketball first. So it's like, I don't understand. He wants Brooklyn, you know, the Brooklyn organization to kind of embrace him as this like part ownership type of relationship. Not in the literal sense, but more in the technical sense of, I want to know who's playing here and what we plan on doing for the future and help build something special here. And that's cool, but you're too distracted. Like, there's too many things on the outside. At some point, you would need to put that first. Because owners, that's what they plan on doing. They have to think about the franchise, even after you. Not while you're here, but after you as well. So, I don't think it's fair that, you know, players are now holding organizations hostage. You know, we literally go through, and this is society as well, and this is unique that I'm bringing this up in such a time, but we live in extremes. And it's so weird because this is supposed to be a place where there's a lot of different, so we're supposed to be able to live in the gray at times. Because there is no, you know, just black and white, right? It's a lot more than that. It's a lot more to it than just that. But at the same time, it's like you have the organizations that had all the power and, you know, they just, you know, take over, you know, these companies that they just have, or just organizations and now called governors. They have all the power when it comes to the athlete, essentially. That's the way it used to be. Now we have situations where, you know, we're only talking about the superstars, because obviously everybody can't just do that. So if you're a, you know, a superstar caliber player, a max deal sort of guy, you know, you have that power to not only put in a no trade clause, you actually get to choose who you want to be traded to if that's the case. Because you're not going to just keep a guy on your bench who just decides, listen, I'm not going to play because, you know, we can't work out whatever deal we're going to make. And then you're forced to trade him somewhere where you're not even going to get, you know, adequate value back. So it's like right now the organization is hostage, all because you were trying to do something that you thought was going to be special with these two, with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, which are arguably the most talented guys we've seen in basketball. And it's just a shame, you know, like all this is just going on, and right now there's just no answers, and technically they have until the 29th, and that's why I never really wanted to get into it, because it's just silly with all the lists of where he can go, and, you know, the Lakers and all that, and then he'll be leaving, you know, what, 30 plus mil on the table, almost 40 mil. Like, it's like, I don't even like to get into that, because it's like, that's going to be up to him, you know, and at the end of the day, unless you have insider information, we don't know. All I can really speak on is this seemed doomed, you know, for a long time. And the fact that you had James Harden force his way out, you know, the whole situation, and them getting Ben Simmons in return, who end up not even playing. And then you have a situation where Kyrie literally put the 76ers on his list of, you know, of possible signing trades. And that would mean they would be giving up James Harden, sending James Harden right back to Brooklyn. I mean, like, you see what I'm saying? Like, you could just end up in this whirlwind of just rumors and storylines and clickbait. Like, not really into all that. I just think it's just crazy. The Brooklyn Nets definitely got themselves into a situation. I know everybody's talking about Kyrie. They should just trade Kyrie and forget him. And I get it. If you're a fan, like, you're a fanatic, like, this is, you know, that's your team, ride or die. You thought they were going to do something special. Y'all thought y'all were taking over the league. Y'all were already counting how many rings y'all had on you. I get it. It's just not a good look. But you're literally at the mercy of Kyrie right now. You are. Because whatever Kyrie does, Kevin Durant's going to follow. He just is. Because it's not like, well, some people would just say, well, Durant already has his extension, so he's chilling. Yeah, but it doesn't mean he's going to stay. It might mean, this is what I can see happening. Let's say Sean Marks, this is where he drew the line in the sand. This is what's going to happen. Kyrie, take the deal or not, pay for play, 2 years, you know, whatever. That's the deal. We're not giving you any longer than that. And Kyrie's like, okay, cool. Send me wherever. He gets sent wherever. Now you have KD, you have Ben Simmons, and whomever, right? Cool. Bad season start, right? Trade deadline hits. What do you think's going to happen? I can see KD going to Miami. I mean, I know Miami fans would be really happy about that. But the point is, like, you see how, like, that's just like a hot story? It's like, it doesn't matter. Like, right now is what matters. The facts are what matter. And the bigger picture is, you get rid of Kyrie, you don't really get much back. The team is not doing well. You're going to have to say goodbye to Kevin Durant too. And like I said, and now you're stuck in a rebuild. Now you're going to be watching the East get exponentially bigger, because I didn't really hear anything about the West teams besides the Lakers. But like I said, we're really saying that how much money Kyrie would be leaving on the table if he went to the Lakers. And I don't know. It would be interesting. He did say on the I Am Athlete podcast, which is a great podcast. You should definitely check it out if you haven't already. You know, but most of these guys are friends, right? They call it the brotherhood with the NBA. And I guess it's kind of selective, though, because everybody's not necessarily in the brotherhood that's in the NBA or has been in the NBA, whatever the case may be, just because, you know, you follow certain players and they'll tell you the same thing. But they're going to say nice stuff. Like, they don't really call each other out too much. Like, there's really only, like, a handful of guys that do that. For the most part, they're not really going to tell you how it is. They're just going to just placate, you know, to them. Just be nice. Just kind of just say what needs to be said and nothing more, nothing less. And that's why I think both sides are important, like, right? Like, when they say the new media versus the old media. No, you need a little bit of everything. And that's why it's up to the general public, right, to be smart enough to weed it out. You know, you do have to sit there and think, what's to be gained here? Are they just telling me how it is, or are they trying to sell me something? But that's up to you. Just because they're a player and they play the game doesn't mean that they're telling you the truth, right? It also doesn't mean that tell you how it is, because the reality is, if it's a brotherhood, there's some things they're going to want to keep confidential, you know, kept secret, especially in some organizations. You know, there's just some things they just don't want the outside world knowing, and rightfully so, just like in any other company. You know, there's just some things that are just not said. But that's why you need a little bit of everything to kind of expose certain things that need to be exposed. Not everything, so I'm not really into that. But, you know, certain things that are just, like, a little too hush-hush, and it's like, come on, man. We know you guys are not big on, you know, admitting when you're wrong. And I get it. And some of the media members are like that too. But that's why you need them both. It makes for great debate. You know, like when you listen to a lot of these podcasts, actually, on either Sirius XM, you know, it's usually that type of relationship. It's usually the media and you have like a ex-coach or, you know, former player, that sort of thing. And they interview all these different people and you see the different perspectives and you, you know, weed out what you want. But at least you're getting more information from different points of view versus just one side. You know, nobody just wants one-sided information. And if you do, I mean, well, good for you. Because I prefer to have it all. And then I'll, you know, trust myself enough to take out the bits and pieces that I need. So this is interesting, right? This is not a political show. This is definitely a sports show. But we talk about NBA, NFL, and what? Everything in between. So when some societal issues come up, I feel it's important to speak on it because you should, you have a voice. Your voice should be heard. It matters. No matter what anybody says, it doesn't matter what they say. You have a voice. Roe versus Wade overturned. Wow. You know, I mean, if you just look at the whole landscape of things, just America as a whole and where we've been going, man, it's been a whirlwind for sure. Like, that's just the best way to describe it without getting too controversial, I should say. Now, some people are saying different things in terms of what they think this means versus what it actually is. I didn't read 139 pages, you know. Don't really have that type of time. To be quite honest, but the gist of it is they're just putting the decision, you know, for abortion laws back to the states. They're letting the states decide what a woman should do with her body. This is so dangerous. So dangerous. And shout out to the governor of California, pretty much telling it like it is, saying if men had the ability to give birth, this wouldn't even be a discussion. And that is so true, you know. It's a shame where we are right now. I was out yesterday in D.C. Shout out to D.C. I got some supporters over there. I appreciate y'all, but it was a lot of, you know, protesters. And when I mean protesters, I don't mean rioters. I don't mean people destroying or doing. I mean people who are using that voice we talked about, you know, with their posters, with, you know, catchy phrases on their shirts, letting you know how they feel. And you know what? This is supposed to be America, so they should have that right, along with other rights that they should be afforded. And it was both men and women up there, and I condone all the men that showed up and showed out, not to mention all the men that show up and speak up on behalf of women, and letting them know, like, hey, we're an ally. We don't agree with this. It's not anybody's decision on what they should do with their body. You know, that's so crazy. But this is where we are. And you just need to ask yourself, like, you think about your lives, think about your family's lives, you know, your parents' lives, your community at large, your state. How does this impact you? How do you really feel about this? Is there any confirmation bias that you need to make yourself aware of and maybe realize that you were wrong? It's just something to think about. Just remember, losses equals life lessons. Peace.
This is the Ripple Effect with your girl K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.